It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in Kitchener, Canada. Jeffrey Stacy is the founder and of Stacy Muirhead Capital Management. Jeff has more than 3 decades of investment industry experience. Jeff is a member of the Finance and Investment Committee at the University of Waterloo. He is also a member of the Dean's Advisory Council at the Wilfrid Laurier University School of Business and Economics, and on the Board of Trustees at Parkminster United Church. As many of you will certainly know and appreciate, Jeff has shared his wisdom and ideas with our members in the past, and we are very grateful he has chosen this opportunity to be with us again. So, on behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Jeff. The floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, John. Thank you for those kind introductory remarks. I return that to you and your colleagues at MOI Global. I think you're doing a fabulous job serving value investors and providing a forum that's helpful. And just I appreciate all that you do for the investment community. I've avid follower and avid reader of the Manual of Ideas, and have been on many of the online conferences in the past as an attendee, and had the privilege of presenting a few other ideas at the Widemoat Conference in the past. And so I hope I can bring something forward today that your listeners will find interesting. So with that, I just want to set this up a little bit by presenting a few slides that I hope kind of puts our investment philosophy into context. We really try to put all our investment ideas through a pretty simple filter. I don't think this will be any different than many of your other presenters or attendees at the conference, but we're trying to find investment opportunities that possess outstanding business economics. So when we're considering something, does it possess outstanding business economics? And I'll talk more to that in a second. Does it have honest and capable management? And I would add, owner-oriented management is a big part of how you need to think about that. And then finally, you know, can it be purchased at an attractive price? And we use all the same measures as everybody else. There's no secret sauce in terms of doing valuations at Stacy Muirhead. And so we just have this simple premise. We call it great business, great people, great price. So let's just very quickly kind of break that down before we get to the idea that I want to present today. So does it possess outstanding business economics? And this is not intended to be an all-inclusive list, but certainly hits things that you know, many other investors talk about. So you want a business that generates high returns on shareholder equity, but can do that without a lot of debt. So we're looking for a strong balance sheet with minimal or no debt or net cash, looking for attractive operating and profit margins. You know, does it have significant brand recognition and perhaps pricing power for its products as a result of that brand recognition? Can you grow revenue and earnings over time? And, you know, nothing's a straight line upwards. It doesn't have to be every year, but, you know, over pretty consistently, you would want to see a company that can grow both top line and bottom line. And finally, does it generate consistent free cash flow? And, you know, particularly, we also look for how that cash flow then gets used over time for the benefit of shareholders. So, that's, as I say, that's not intended to be an all-inclusive list, but certainly some of the major things that we're looking for. So then when we flip to trying to appraise management, and I'm the first to say that's a very difficult thing to do, and we've made more than our fair share of mistakes over the years, but, you know, for us, it's come down to things like, do they have skin in the game? We've just found that the way to get a manager to think like an owner is have them be an owner and with their own capital. Again, not saying, you know, options are certainly a topic and lots of conversation about compensation practices over the years. And I'm not saying options are a bad thing, but we want to see people who have put their own money up on the same basis as us. We're looking for reasonable compensation practices and where there's pay for performance, that it's tied to metrics that you can actually measure. Of course, demonstrated character and integrity. Again, those are things that people don't get to be CEO without understanding what they need to say to potential investors. And so sometimes it's hard to cut through that, but you're just really trying to determine if your management team has integrity and character. Capital allocation record, obviously that's key in terms of, you know, acquisition track record. Have they done a good job acquiring things where you generate that free cash we've talked about? You know, do they give it back to shareholders through share repurchases or dividends, or if they're making acquisitions, then we need to know that it's value additive. And then I would just say, you know, the investments we've had the most success with, the companies have a very unique corporate culture that really hits you when you see it. And so we're looking for that as well. And so again, these are not an all-inclusive list, and although you think about a lot of things, it's hard to put all these criteria into a checklist that you can absolutely measure yes or no and tick the box precisely. But it's and not every company has everything that you're looking for, but you need to have it be you know, the scorecard needs to be highly favorable on a lot of these measures. And then finally, is it available at an attractive price? And we use all the same tools as everybody else. And I just put a Warren Buffett quote here: your goal as an investor should be simply to purchase at a rational price, a part interest in an easily understood business whose earnings are virtually certain to be materially higher 5, 10, or 20 years from now. So that's a quick overview of the filters that we're trying to use to come up with ideas. So with that, let's talk my best idea for 2018. And let me just say that's a daunting title, and there's a certain trepidation in being a conference presenter, because a lot of this over any 1 year period can be random. But this is the Best Ideas Conference, so I'll do my best here. So my best idea for 2018 is a small cap company called CPL Resources. And let me just give you some background first on what the company's about, and then we can talk to the investment parameters that we discussed a moment ago. So CPL Resources, what is it? It's a leading employment services group based in Dublin, Ireland. So they have the full array of services, including recruitment, and that's both temporary and permanent and contract recruiting. They do workforce management and training and outsourcing and outplacement. And we'll talk more to this next point, but this is a company that was primarily based in Ireland and had derived most of its business from Ireland. And one of the factoids that I like about this business is that during the depths of the financial crisis in 2008-2009, CPL, which was almost predominantly an Irish firm at that point doing business in Ireland, managed to make a profit during an environment where you had greater than 25% unemployment in Ireland. So since that time, they've been on a pathway to grow out their business. And so their key business, one of their key business strategies going forward, is to avoid overdependence on any one service, any one particular sector, or any particular geography. So they have done a great job at growing out from their strong, while still maintaining their strong base in Ireland. So a few more, just by way of overview comments to maybe put the basics of the company in place before we start to drill down on the investment attributes of the company. It was founded in 1989. It went public in 1999. They currently have, or as of their last fiscal year end, I should say, which was June 30th, they have a June 30th fiscal year end. They had 11,500 staff headcount. So that's temporary staff headcount that's working away at their various clients that they have, and then that CPL works for. Then in turn, CPL itself has 547 recruiters that are working to place candidates, you know, either temporary or contract or permanent, you know, in their various client operations. They have 21 separate recruiting or employment services brands, and that's comprised of 41 offices in 11 countries. So that maybe just gives you a little bit of a flavor for how much they've grown away from their traditional Irish base. So that's, you know, an overview of what the company's about. Just to give you some very basic financial data, the share price at the end of the year was €6.22. There was 27.2 million shares outstanding, so that's a market capitalization of approximately 170 million. So this is definitely a small company. That may be of real interest to some of your the conference attendees, and to others that may be too small, but just thought it was an interesting idea. And so let's, for better or worse, that's the size of the company. So I'm going to take you now through those three questions and try and build up the case as to why I think this is a really good idea. A good business with good economics, run by honest, capable, shareholder-oriented management, and that's available at an attractive price. So does it possess superior business economics? Growing revenue and earnings, and I've just given you the last 5 years here. I can tell you that since this company went public, it has grown sort of double digits on nearly all financial metrics since the IPO in 1999, whether you're looking at operating profits or earnings per share or revenues or dividends per share. So I've just fleshed out a few numbers for you there. Revenue, you can see over the last 5 years, gone from 330 million euros to 455 million for the year ended June 30th, 2017. And you can see the year by year growth numbers. Similarly, net income, it's been a little restrained the last few years. They've been making a lot of investments in people and systems. And so that's maybe not quite consistent with the longer term growth rates, and of course ultimately size will dictate that growth rates come down, but we still think they have a lot of room to grow, and I'd like to make the case that we think the next 5 years can be more consistent with their first 20 to 25 years than the last 5 years. And there you see across the bottom just earnings per share in euro cents. So in 2013, they made 35 cents a share. That grew to 43.7. And again, the growth rates there, and it was basically flat year over year in the last 2 years. But growing, generally speaking, growing revenue and earnings over the long term. High returns on shareholder equity, and I've just given you the last 5 years there, and you can see that that's coming down. And that's I would add an all-in shareholder equity number, including cash. And of course, their cash has been building up the last few years, up until an event in October where they did a tender offer and retired about 12% of the shares. And we'll discuss that more fully in a minute. But I just ran returns on shareholder equity, excluding cash. So taking, you know, the year-end cash off the balance sheet, taking the after-tax income out of the earnings number, how do they do? And you can see on that basis, you know, solid returns, all above 20%, you know, 20% for the year end of June 30th. And again, that included a pretty healthy, they had a pretty healthy level of cash. And of course, we'll talk to the tender offer. But if you back that all out, you know, 20% plus consistent returns on shareholder equity. Solid financial position, just pulled some basic numbers together for you there. I wanted to highlight $33.6 million in cash, you know, healthy working capital. This is a company that needs to have healthy working capital because they've got to do those payrolls to all their temporary employees every couple of weeks. And then $104 million, call it, in shareholder equity. So clearly a solid financial position. We can talk more to the brands here. The concept of branding at CPL is interesting. They've tried to coalesce all these many companies that they've bought and built over the years under some common groupings: recruitment, healthcare, outsourcing, learning and development. But to me, the brands really are these smaller businesses that have narrow or special niches, but are very strong in those niches. And I'll just give you an example of one. You see partway down on the slide there, RIG. That's RIG Healthcare, which is a company that they bought in June of this past year, that is a specialist in recruiting for the locum or temporary physician and other healthcare professional market in the UK. And this company is a, you know, an approved provider for the National Health Service. In the 2016 calendar year, to give you a sense of their business, they recruited people who collectively worked for over 1 million hours. So this is not a big company, but I would argue it's a strong brand in a special niche. And so maybe not in the traditional sense that you would find with a standard consumer products company, but I think CPL does have some strong brands. Increasing dividends per share. Again, they've had a record of increasing the dividends to shareholders over a long period of time. You can see there over the past 5 years, 8.5 cents to 11.5 cents in the most recent year. That is about a 5.5% growth rate, something like that. You know, we would expect that to increase at that rate, or possibly a higher rate if earnings start to grow again, closer to the historical rate than how it's been the last 5 years. Share repurchase history, another big part of the capital allocation record. The approach that CPL has tended to take is to do tender offers periodically. So they did one in 2011 when the cash had built up above what they thought they would need. They did a $20 million tender offer and repurchased 6.66 million shares at €3 per share. And then this year, after the fiscal year ended in October, they did another $25 million tender offer, purchased a further 3.7 million shares for €6.75 per share. So you can see there, those two share repurchases returned $45 million to shareholders. They purchased 10.4 million shares. Just for perspective, over the same period of time, they spent $16.1 million on acquisitions. So they're returning roughly at the rate of 3 to 1. And their style has been to grow organically for the most part. They're not a big acquirer, but when they find a small tuck-in acquisition that fits one of their sectors, services, or geographies, they're not adverse to doing that. So I would argue a good capital allocation record. So just a quick recap: does it possess superior business economics, growing revenue and earnings, high returns on shareholder equity, particularly if you take out the cash, solid financial position, significant brand recognition. Again, I would argue maybe in a slightly different way, but although there's a wide array of brands, and each brand in and of itself, or each sector or service in and of itself, isn't large, they really are strong brands in their very narrow niches. Increasing dividends per share, and finally opportunistic share repurchases. They've consistently done that. So I would argue that this is a business that by most measures does in fact possess superior business economics. Does it have honest and capable management? So, you know, for me, the big one is that skin in the game that we talked about earlier. And Anne Herity, the founder and CEO, and her husband, Paul Carroll, own 9.7 million shares, representing about 36% of the total shares outstanding. So clearly the answer is yes to the skin in the game question. Unique corporate culture. This is a company that's been a consistent winner of great places to work in Ireland. Many countries have those various awards, but they have won consistently over the years and been judged one of the great places to work. So we think that's at least an indicator that this may have a unique corporate culture that has all its employees and people energized and dedicated to the company. Reasonable shareholder-oriented board. I don't have any particular special insights. I would say they have a long-serving board or several long-serving board members, which I think is a good thing. But then from time to time, they've also added some new board members. That we talked about it in the earlier section on capital allocation, but they've consistently returned capital to shareholders, both through dividends, which have been increasing, and then through the periodic tender offers when excess cash is built up that they don't believe they require for their business. Just a couple of things on Anne Herity. She was the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year in 2006 in Ireland, and then won a further award as Businesswoman of the Year in Ireland from an organization called WMB, which stands for Women Mean Business. So I think she's a highly respected leader of this organization and a talented leader. From our chair, you know, just summarizing, does this business have honest and capable management? We clearly think the answer is yes, but just to recap, they have skin in the game. I think the compensation practices have been reasonable. I didn't really address that too much, but doesn't seem like anything's out of line there. And of course, the capital allocation record has been quite good in my judgment for this company. And then unique corporate culture. So we think it's got a lot of those attributes that you certainly look for. Can it be purchased at an attractive price? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Anyone who's interested in this company is going to have to make their own judgment. But let me just give you a very, very basic view. So the share price at the end of 2017 was $6.22 a share. Cash per share is now 30 um, euros after the tender offer was completed. So they have about 8 million in cash on a pro forma basis, which we of course expect to go up again over time. So net share price, if you will, 592. They made 43.7 cents a share. So it's trading at 13.5 times earnings with a 2% trailing dividend yield, and then return excluding cash, you know, above 20%. So certainly, retrospectively, we think it's not excessively valued, and in fact is attractively priced. So just to play around and maybe to think about it in a rough way, you know, what's a back of the envelope valuation going forward? So I just for fun took three real simple assumptions, and we'll work it through with you. The first assumption: they have no growth. Now, that clearly hasn't been the case, and we expect there to be ongoing growth. So second assumption is shares outstanding is down 12%. So that's the amount they bought in the tender offer, roughly 12% of the shares outstanding. So now you have a reduced share count by 12%. And then they bought Rig Healthcare right at the end of their fiscal year in June. And so I've projected their net income to be the same as what they would have made on a pro forma basis if Rig had been part of CPL for the whole year and added that back into earnings. So again, you know, we start with a net share price after cash of €5.92. You know, if you do this analysis, so take last year's net income, reduce the share, there's no growth, reduce the shares outstanding by 12%, and just include Rig at its 2017 level for a whole year, we're looking at close to 53 cents earnings per share for the upcoming year. That's a price earnings multiple of 11.2%. And again, for a company with a great balance sheet that's generating high returns on shareholder capital. So that's a little bit of a back of the envelope valuation. So just in a summary, I would just say we think that CPL Resources is a great business with great people at a great price. So that's my presentation, and we'll open it up to your questions, John.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for such a compelling presentation. Maybe we could start with capital allocation. Are there any priorities there that you would like to see a little bit different than what management might be doing?
Not really. I will admit to you, the wild card that's hard to understand from the outside is technology spend. You know, the recruiting business is a business that is utilizing a full panoply of technology tools. It certainly seems like CPL has done a good job. You know, they launched a mobile app in the last year, so all their array of candidates can then respond by mobile to some of these opportunities. But you know, I guess I would just say I wouldn't be adverse if it was required, because I think this is a good company that has a real opportunity to leverage its strengths. And so I would not want them to ever fall behind technologically. They certainly believe they're in good shape. They certainly believe part of the reason why the earnings were constrained the last few years is because they've been spending a little bit above trend line and what they think is needed on a sustainable basis for technology spend. And then, you know, the wild card is always acquisitions. And so if something would come along that makes sense, I wouldn't necessarily be adverse to having them tip the scale more that way. for a year or two, at the expense of, you know, potentially another tender offer, at the expense of, you know, an increase in the dividend rate. Of course, that always has to be balanced against discipline, and as long as they're doing all the right things. And all I can say to you is, thus far in their history, they seem to have done a good job balancing returning capital to shareholders against using that money to make capital expenditures. And, you know, I think the ratio was 3-to-1. I'm not hung up that that's the right ratio. I think it's all opportunity driven. But, you know, I see no reason why this company can't continue to expand its footprint geographically and by sector and by services, while maintaining their strong position in Ireland.
And who would be some comparable companies that investors could look at and study to get a broader understanding of this industry?
So it stratifies a bunch of different ways. Certainly in the temporary and contract space, you know, companies, large companies, much larger than CPL, like Adecco and Manpower are players there. In the more permanent recruitment, companies like Page and Hayes Group. And then, you know, you have an array of specialist recruiters in sort of the science field and healthcare field that they're running up against. So there's a lot of competition out there, no question about that. But what I like about CPL is that they're playing in, they're a comprehensive employment services company playing in all the areas, you know, whether that's executive recruiting through Ardlin, which has been a fairly recent startup that's had a really good first couple of years, to, you know, whether it's more the temporary or contract space, or you know, more permanent space where they're coming up against Hayes and Page and those type of companies. So the answer is it varies. It's a very competitive market, but CPL has a presence in most areas. Their historical strength in Ireland, I would say, is in technology. So as you know, Ireland's been a real technology hub. Who's not there is a shorter list than who's there, but you know, all the big players, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, are Google, they're all there, and they've been an active recruiter for those companies into that space, active recruiter in the Pfizer, or in the pharmaceutical, excuse me, Pfizer is a big competitor, or a big client rather. You know, so that's been their prime presence. Of course, Brexit, although perhaps hurting some of their translation on their UK business and perhaps seeing things slow down a bit in the UK, may actually help them in Ireland, because they've also been a recruiter for the financial industry, and to the extent that at least some of the business would move out of the City of London to Dublin, they would probably get some wins off that. So they have a big presence in technology, pharma, finance within Ireland, but competitively there's lots of competition out there.
And perhaps finally, could you talk a little bit about the cyclicality of the business, how kind of resilient is it in a downturn? And yeah, I think that's pretty much the focus.
Well, I mean, clearly it is impacted by employment trends. Now, interestingly, and I should have perhaps alluded to it in my presentation, there's been quite a dramatic increase in temporary or contract employment at the expense of permanent. Now, their permanent business has historically carried higher margins than the temporary business. Their temporary business margins are good relative to players in that field, but it's just a fact that temporary business has a little bit lower margins. So that's also been what's been constraining the earnings the last few years. So there's no question it's impacted by employment and confidence levels. With that said, I would just go back to some of my introductory comments. It has been pretty resilient. And, you know, even in the depths of the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, when they were 90% based in Ireland and Ireland had a 25% plus unemployment rate, they still managed to turn a profit. So they've been able to be pretty nimble about managing their costs. If you get wage increases to any significant degree, they're a beneficiary of that because, you know, their fees are dependent on the rates. So that would be helpful. I'm not calling it one way or the other than to just note it's a fact things have been picking up in Europe generally, economically speaking, which is still their biggest market. So that could be a bit of a tailwind. And so certainly that provides some resilience as well. So not trying to sidestep, I think it is economically sensitive, but they seem to have done a good job at being resilient, being nimble in the down times and not having it have a dramatically negative impact on the results.
Wonderful, Jeff. Well, thank you so much for being with us once again. I truly appreciate this idea and the way in which you articulated your thesis.
Appreciate it very much, and my very best wishes to everyone for a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2018.
Thank you so much. Same to you, and I will just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with Jeff with their own thoughts or questions on this presentation. Thank you so much, and goodbye for now.
Thank you.